Thanks for checking out the Roodits and Loz podcast, driven by the Ford Ranger Raptor, inspired by desert racing. Ford Ranger Raptor has been developed by the Australian design and engineering team with Ford Performance DNA for true enthusiasts.
Oh, hello. On this Wednesday morning, Roodits and Loz with you. How is everyone this morning?
Great.
Turn yourself on, Loz.
Sorry, there we go.
Yeah, there you go. It's a bit of a Friday.
It does a little bit.
Yeah, even though we're working on Friday.
Holiday tomorrow.
Got a bit of an itch. Everyone's taking Friday off mostly
a lot of
around
people
the
world. Are.
Except us, which is fine. Everyone's.
That time we did the extra yard.
I know.
Yeah. Hey, Anzac Day Eve. I can tell you, Limo's going to join us, who always gives us a laugh on a Wednesday, but he's got a real touching story to tell us. Great story to tell us about Anzac Day.
Yep, I'm very excited
He goes and entertains troops.
That's right,
bits
he does.
And pieces, so he'd have a big connection with that.
Yeah, he definitely does. Our cardboard cutouts, we're going to give away a big, big prize today.
Yes, we are. We're giving away the Grandioso prize. So first, second and third place will be handed out. I'm actually really nervous because these people have been out with our cardboard cutouts trying to get as much exposure with these things as possible. It's been a points-based system. They've worked so hard on this. I can't even explain how much content they've developed for us. So I'm really anxious for them.
It's been great, but it's not going to be as interesting as the phoner we're doing today, the worst place you've had a poo.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that. That's happening at 7:15.
What's this on the back of?
It's on the back of we're talking about Anzac Day and going to the Dawn services. And Tex said, well, he took his lads there last year and he needed to have a poo. There was no toilets there, so he made him poo in a cardboard box.
Yeah, that's right.
Not Tex, his son needed to poo in a cardboard box.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a different headline,
yeah,
isn't it?
We'll be doing that a bit after 7. Yeah.
Get all the news you need.
104.7 Triple M.
Hello, Adelaide.
No one knows Adelaide like these guys. Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Overnight news.
Just want to start with this story saying it's un-Australian, it's bulldust, it's not right. We're going to get charged to use cash.
What?
This is what they're saying.
What do you mean?
Financial experts, well, Scott Pape, the Barefoot Investors, are suggesting that cash now is in the minority, as we know.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, to use it, it's going to become expensive for cafes and banks and everyone to handle it. They're going to start charging us to use cash.
How does that work?
Well, you know, at the moment, what do you get? 1.5% sometimes when you use your credit card.
Yeah.
So I guess, let's say you buy something for $10, they'll say, oh, that's now $11.20.
Mm.
It's $10, but it's actually $11.20.
Okay.
I think because they're going to get charged by armor guards and all these mobs to handle cash. And as we know, banks, every time you walk in and speak to a teller now, there's a charge. You know, you're getting bank fees.
Yeah. Okay, so then they stop charging us for credit cards?
No,
apparently
sure
not.
No,
well,
no,
though,
no,
hang
no,
on a
no.
second. Because if one of the if they're charging us because it's inconvenient, then it can't be inconvenient for both.
Well.
Who's charging us for the use cash?
It's just inconvenient for you to spend money.
Is it the shop owner or the...
That bit I don't know. That's
because
a good question. But the Barefoot Investor just saying that because it'll be in the minority. And the other thing he said, $1 and $2 coins will go back to notes because they weigh too much. Therefore, armor guard or the like to handle it. So it's actually going to, we're going to lose those coins.
Yeah, they probably need to charge more now, I think, because the banks haven't made much profit.
No, not at all.
Just battling to keep their head above water.
But Roo, to answer you, I'm guessing here, the cafe bank would charge you because the bank is going to charge the cafe, aren't they? So I think it'll get passed on to us.
Yep.
And then everyone
it's
will...
It's just gotten to the point where it's just ridiculous.
They're not making enough, Loz.
No.
We're spending money and they're charging us for spending money.
Yes,
oh, did you want to breathe in that room?
That's
they're,
right.
You know,
you want
surcharge.
Buy some bank
you blinked.
Shares,
surcharge.
Buy
Bull
bank
dust.
Shares.
Crazy.
That's all we can do. Another day, unfortunately, another business going broke in the world of hospitality. There's just restaurants and cafes shutting down everywhere at the moment. These are a couple down in our southern suburbs that have shut down, that have just been too much for them at Hallett Cove, and also the other one was at Morphettvale, Sheffy Shelby. But there's just... Not just little ones like this, big award-winning restaurants shutting down left, right and centre. So when you go out and think, gee, is my schnitzel worth $28? Really? That seems too much. Or they must be making money charging $10 a beer. They're not, unfortunately. The costs are going through the roof, whether it's gas prices, electricity prices, rental prices, food costs, you name it, wages. Somehow it's still not stacking up for a lot of these restaurants and cafes around Adelaide. Unfortunately.
It's really sad.
The ramping crisis we know all about, and, you know, some people are sick of hearing about it. You're not sick of you are sick of hearing about it when you've lost someone as a result of it. And the front page of the Advertiser today say three more people have died after being stranded in ambulance for hours. Now, you'd be mighty peed off if a loved one of yours died directly as a result of waiting in an ambulance, not getting the care that they deserve. I mean, this is a problem not only in here, but it's in all states, I think, and all around the world, to be honest. But we've still got to try and improve it and build more beds. And, you know, we talk about Mallee doing a great job. I don't know if they're going to get on top of it or what the honest truth is.
Why is it so flipping hard to fix?
Because they built a REH hospital there. This is my understanding, and I might be wrong. They spent a world record on an amount of money in a building and didn't put any more beds in it.
Oh, no, I think the design of that building is appalling. But isn't it a national crisis?
Like, yes, because no one perhaps spends enough money for what we need in our medical care, I think.
Ridiculous. I tell you what else is ridiculous, and this is a real knee-jerk turn in another direction.
Knee-jerk? It'd be around the knee.
Thinking it.
The man with the biggest penis in the United Kingdom has said it's actually inconvenient.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And this sounds like a humble brag, and he's like, it's just so hard.
What are you doing looking up?
He's just
seen a lot of blokes naked.
Oh, you've seen a lot of blokes naked, have you? Well, have you seen this bloke, Ruud?
What is he?
It was on news.com. I haven't Googled this. His name's Matt Barr. And
no,
the photo
hang
of
on,
him.
Barred up. That's not his name.
It is.
Oh, come on.
B-A-R-R.
His name could have been Rod or, you know,
Pole.
All right. Come on, guys. This is still
right. Be
anyway, it's 12 inches, so it's 30.5 centimetres long. And basically he said that it's one of those things where he doesn't know when to tell someone about it if he's going on a date with them. Do you tell them?
At what point?
He said it's creepy to bring it up early.
Yeah.
But it's also not something you want to spring on people in the heat of the moment, because to be quite honest, and this is going to sound, look, it's a myth that women want an enormous penis.
Thank God for
is
that.
Is it?
Yes.
So what do they want?
Hope for a
show. Just normal. Just normal, average. Not even.
My day.
I don't even know what normal means. Average size. Because the regular female, the average female anatomy can only accommodate so much.
Mm.
And otherwise it's just painful.
What if one's a little bit bigger? What do you do?
Yeah, that's fine. Look, a little bit big is fine. But if we're talking freak show, like 12 inches, there's not much you can do with
it. So what do you say to the bloke when he pops his 12-inch wanger out?
It's too big.
We only need part of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't need it all.
I can't even say, nothing I can say is
how
often. I've got maybe 10 jokes just sitting there. Like,
oh, we'll start with a couple.
No. I really can't.
I was going to ask. No, I'm not even going to ask.
No, anyway, God. So if you're out there and you've got just an average Joe, you know.
Be happy.
Just be happy. That's
Don't
all we want.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Mm. Just keep it clean, that's the only thing.
Can I be too small?
Well, you may keep it clean. You're not going to wash 8 inches of it and keep four dirty.
Could run out of soap.
No, what I'm saying is all we really care about is hygiene at the end of the day. Just
what? Ball dust.
It's big or small, as long as it's clean, that's
can
the
it
most
be too
important.
Can
it be too small? What, have you seen a dirty one?
Blokes, not all blokes know how to wash properly, that's all I'm going to say.
Huh.
Wash their old fella.
Yeah.
It's the first thing you wash when you get in the shower.
Yeah, but they're not very thorough.
Some keep washing it.
Keep washing it.
Next. Triple M.
You call this archaeology?
I always wanted to be an archaeologist when I was growing up, so that's going amazing. Over there and dusting off. Oh, don't laugh at that.
Quite seriously, though. Don't.
Don't you dare laugh at that.
Well, I was an archaeologist.
Shut up, you head. I would have been a great archaeologist.
Put on your khaki pants and get out your rock hammers.
Archaeologists have dug up a 5,000-year-old pub in Iraq.
It's time for Archaeology News with Loz.
Ruud's snoring already. The only reason why we do this segment is so we can play that opener, because it's one of Sammy's best.
Yeah.
We get it. You're tired. I just want to shout out someone who sent in something and they didn't put who it was from. Shut up. They sent in the Nile magazine, Discover Ancient Egypt, Ramses, and the Gold of the Pharaoh. So someone sent me a subscription to a magazine all the way from the UK.
No.
They haven't put a return address. They put a return address, but it's in Bournemouth. In the United Kingdom, which we've looked up.
You reckon they've heard about your segment, do you?
They must have.
Someone's listening.
The envelope's here in front of us.
It's in Dorset.
Yeah.
And they haven't included anything else. Just this awesome magazine.
Someone's played a trick on you and just, you know.
If this is a trick, then great.
I'll have a quick look.
Yeah, do you have a browse?
It's a magazine. It's called Nile.
It's just making out his interest
Discover
in archaeology.
Ancient Egypt today.
Yeah.
This is the November 23 edition.
It is.
Just when you thought Ramses, you had nothing to do tomorrow, Dits.
Ramses and the gold of the pharaohs.
And how much was it, Dits? It says on the front.
It were £5.50.
Yeah, £5.50. That ain't cheap. They've had it sent over. Anyway, I actually do want to talk about Egypt because, you know, the Egyptians, they were all over it. They knew so much more than we probably realise they do. We lost a lot of the archives in the big fire of Alexandrina, so we don't know how much they knew.
The what?
The Great Fire of Alexandrina. Mm. It was a big fire that wiped out a massive library that had all of this information that we lost. Right. And put our
we
society
in the
just humans
world or?
Yeah, it put our society back like hundreds of years, maybe more. But so the Milky Way, which is the galaxy that contains this solar system, was first sort of discovered officially by Galileo in 1610 with his big telescope, an Italian guy. But it turns out that the Egyptians were well aware of it like 1,000 years before that.
And they well aware of what?
The Milky Way. The galaxy, because they were astronomers and they used to look to the sky. They basically figured out that there's 365 days in a year, that there need to be 24-hour days just by watching the sky. They were all over it. But the paintings of the goddess...
Patient to work that out.
Oh, bloody patient. Well, they had thousands of years to do it. They were just uninterrupted rain. Incredibly, I mean, they were, you know, pretty brutal. But they had amazing technology for their time. And they, in the paintings of Nut, which is the goddess of the sky...
What? Paintings of who?
The goddess of the sky, her name's Nut. She was their sky goddess.
Right.
People now have discovered that in these paintings that are sort of, you know, the Egyptian sort of quite archetypal paintings that they have, the Milky Way can be seen in them. The stars that we know now that were discovered hundreds of years, 1,000 years later by Galileo. They were aware of it and they knew about it and they put them in the paintings before we had telescopes, before we had all of that. And then it all got forgotten about and lost, and then someone rediscovered it in 1610, Galileo.
Knocked me over with a feather.
They were ahead of their time.
They were.
I'm just reading about the following eye phenomenon. Do you know about that?
Where the eye looks at you and you walk around the room? Yes. Yeah.
That's when you look at a hot woman walking by.
Yeah. Yeah. Like the Mona Lisa.
Yeah.
Got one eye. Ditz has got the following eye.
I'm knee deep in this magazine.
Looks through a book. He doesn't do this much research before the show.
I know.
Ramesses XI's coffin.
The paper he reads the advertiser quicker than that. Mm.
And he's got photographic memory too, so this is all going in the bank.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm enjoying watching Ditz flick through this magazine. Anyway, to whoever sent me this magazine, I just want to say thank you very much. And to everyone else,
0488 51047. If you sent Loz the archaeology magazine, let us know.
And to everyone else,
you can be anonymous.
Just want to apologise for this segment. Can I just read
a sentence for you, Roo? This would be your alley.
Hang on, I'll write it down.
All right. The sarcophagus of the king Amenemhotep. What the hell does that mean?
Did he pronounce it wrong?
The sarcophagus is what they put them in.
Yeah, esophagus.
The sarcophagus.
Sarcophagus is what they put their bodies in when they embalm them.
Right. Why don't they just
that's
call it
a sarcophagus,
coffin.
Ditch.
It's called like a bloody coffin.
Well, that's what they didn't have that word. It's a different word.
Okay.
Archaeologists always use long words.
They do. All right. All right. Well done, Loz.
Good seg.
Black Triple M's Live with Roo, Dits and Loz. To live like Roo, Dits and Loz. I just wanna live. And score one of three awesome Live Golf prizes. Live Golf Adelaide, April 26 to 28. Tickets at livegolf.com.
All right, yesterday was the last day for our competitors to get out and about with our cardboard cutouts.
The more exposure they could get with these cardboard cutouts, get on the news, get on TV, get seen, the more likely they would be winning these prizes. First place, you'll be living like Dits on a trip for two to the UK for the Live Golf Tournament with flights and accommodation. Second place, you live like Roo. Two corporate hospitality tickets to the Watering Hole at Live Golf Adelaide and an Inside the Rope experience on event day. And third place, live like me, double pass to Live Golf Adelaide and then off to Fisher.
Beautiful. So it's time to give away the third place.
I think before we do that, we get to hand out some bonus points.
Oh.
So to all the competitors that have been taking part, we've got 5,000 bonus points each to give away.
This is important,
It is very important. I've decided to give 5,000 bonus points to a woman named Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
she's been very competitive, Rachel, but I did actually happen to meet her, and she put a sticker over the part of the cardboard cutout that was a bit rude. That was an accidental hand gesture that I was doing, and she covered it up, which I thought was very generous of her and kind.
Oh. She got us in the Advertiser
She got us in the Advertiser. She's been everywhere. She was out down at a presser I was at. So
how many bonus points?
5,000 to Rachel.
5,000.
Yep.
All right. Who are you going to give yours to, Ru?
Well, I just thought Elliot was fantastic. He just went around to so many different places and got our cardboard cut out everywhere. But he got us on Sunrise at Taylor Bend down there, which I thought was a great effort. And that was one of the first real highlights
we had. Moments,
We issued a challenge about how high you could get us. And Drew got us onto a private jet.
He did.
That's high.
That's pretty
so
high.
So I'm going to give him 5,000 bonus points for that. So all right. Well done.
So we've given out our bonus points.
Yes.
Does it mean it's time to announce the third place?
It is.
Okay. In the third place.
For Fisher tickets.
For Fisher tickets and tickets to Live Golf. Rachel.
Rachel from Semaphore Park.
Congratulations.
Woohoo.
Yeah.
Congrats, Rachel.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Have you had fun with
party
it?
With you, Loz.
Oh, I can't wait either.
No, yeah, it was good fun. Definitely was exhausted by the weekend, but yeah, has really shown me how much like network I have in Adelaide. So it's been awesome.
Oh, good. Now, you did a great job.
What are you going to do with the cardboard cutout? You're going to keep Dits, obviously, and then burn the rest, or?
Well, we've put you up at the Squatters Arms, where you will remain squatters until you get put down.
Right, so. Isn't that a shout, the Squatters Arms?
It is, I think, on the corner of...
Down on Port Road.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We did have you at Adelaide Airport, but we thought we'd leave you there.
Right. The squatter's like a ghost town.
Yeah, I hate to think what's happening to us.
Well done, Rachel, and enjoy Fisher and enjoy the golf as well. So first and second place we'll announce later on this morning.
Ooh. Yeah, look forward to it.
Yep, not too far away from that. It's Live Like Roo, Dits and Loz. All thanks to Live Golf Adelaide. April 26th to 28th. Just a couple of days away now. Exciting stuff. Tickets at livegolf.com.
Triple M's Live with Roo, Dits and Loz. To live like Roo, Dits and Loz. I just wanna... And score one of three awesome Live Golf prizes. Live Golf Adelaide. April 26th to 28th. Tickets at livegolf.com.
Earlier this morning, we announced third place, and it was...
It was Rachel.
From Semaphore Park.
From Semaphore Park. She's off to see Fisher at Live Golf. And she was a very strong contender.
Yeah.
She got us a lot of exposure with her cardboard cutouts. Yeah. But it's come down to two people.
It has. Two final contestants. Now, this is for the trip to England, to the UK. We're going to fly you into London and then the Live tournament in Birmingham. This is the big prize. The runner-up will get to go down like Roo and be in the big corporate box. This is worth over a grand, about $1,200 worth for a couple of people
at the watering hole.
The watering
hole. Incredible inside the ropes experience on event day.
For the people of Adelaide, you won't have to put up with our cardboard cutouts anymore.
Oh, my God.
What are some of the places we've...
One of them snuck into the entertainment centre, snuck in and climbed up the top Dits and put it up on the railing up there for the whole concert on Wednesday night. We've been into Adelaide Oval, we've been on the boundary line, we've been down to footy park, had photos with...
Up in a plane.
We've been on the news, 7 News, 10.
We've been on
Sunrise.
Every news. We've been in the Advertiser.
Yeah, yep. All right.
We've been everywhere.
These two lads have done an outstanding job. Good morning, Drew from Glenelg.
Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Elliot from Goodwood.
Good morning.
Okay.
Did you sound nervous, Elliot?
I'm all right. I'm just patiently waiting.
You boys.
Oh, your guts would be amazing.
You boys are down to the last two. For a trip for two to the UK. For the Live Golf Tournament, flights and accommodation, in first place with 124,600 points, Elliot from Goodwood.
Let's go!
Elliot, you are off to the UK. Now, Drew, you were magnificent, mate. You really, really were. And we're so sad that we can only give this to one person. But, Drew, thanks for your efforts.
You were on 110.
No, perfect. It's been brilliant.
110,350 points, mate. Like, you were very close behind. Oh. And it's going to be an awesome day.
Couldn't have done much more, Drew.
No.
Private jets and all sorts, mate. Well done. A very, very good second.
Yeah, so,
thank
Drew, you
much.
Are off
no
to the
worries,
watering
mate.
Hole, okay?
See you down there, mate.
See you down there, mate. Now,
I'll tell my wife to expect me later.
Yeah.
That's right. Elliot, who are you going to take to the UK with you?
Oh, I've had so much help this whole journey. This last week's been so much fun. I think I'll be in a bit of trouble if I don't take my girlfriend. So.
Yeah. What's her name, Elliot?
What's that, sorry?
What's her name?
Her name's Millie, so she's been awesome. She's, I mean, like I said, I've had so many people help me, but she's been great. I just do want to give a little shout out to my workplace, all the wholesalers up in Mount Barker. They've been so good. I've barely worked the last week. So, yeah.
Solar wholesalers, are they?
That's it. That's
them. Good business. Should people be using them?
Yeah, of course. They're just such a good bunch of people. And yeah, I'm so grateful to work for them. So.
Oh, mate. Well,
Elliot, it's been a lot of fun, mate. And you've been outstanding. You really have.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it. It's been awesome.
Good on you, Elliot. Congratulations,
cool.
Mate.
Oh, that's thanks. So cool.
Thank you.
Triple M Breakfast with Roo, Dits and Loz.
Best breakfast show in Adelaide.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Lehman.
Lehman!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Oh, he joins us on the eve of Anzac Day. And I mention that because, Lemo, in your time, you've flown around the world and, well, amused and entertained our troops, haven't you, at times?
I have indeed, Dits, and it's been one of the great joys of my life, performing for our troops in all manner of locations around the world. And one of the great things I've been able to continue doing since then is to be an ambassador for a few organisations that support our troops.
Yeah, right.
One of those is an organisation called Soldier On, which looks after our wounded veterans and their families.
Yeah.
And I want to share with you this amazing story from a fundraiser. It was about 10 years ago now. In fact, it was their first ever gala dinner, which I was emceeing in Canberra. Black tie function, room full of pretty heavy hitters. There are a couple of former prime ministers there, the head of army, the head of navy, et cetera, et cetera. Governor general was there. And there was an auction to raise money. And the auctioneer was just kind of rolling through the items, which we've all seen that 1,000 times at fundraising dinners. And then the auctioneer gets a painting and he goes, all right, next up is this painting. It's the Battle of the Neck. All right, let's start the bidding at, say, $1,000. And then Dr. Brendan Nelson, who was the head of the War Memorial at the time, runs up onto the stage and says, whoa, no. Let me just give a bit of background on this painting before we go to the auction. The auctioneer goes, oh, yeah, sure. So he hands over to Brendan Nelson, who then went on to deliver the most extraordinary speech I've ever seen in my life.
Whoa.
And I'll give you a very, I'm paraphrasing here. He was spoke for about 20 minutes, but I'll give you the nuts of what he said to the room as the auctioneer is standing there holding the painting of the Battle of the Neck. So he goes, the Battle of the Neck started at 4:30 a.m. on the 7th of August, 1915 in Gallipoli. Now, it was four waves of the Australian Light Horse Brigade, and it was a useless, useless attack on the Turks, and it was actually dramatised in the movie Gallipoli. With Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
So he goes, the first wave, 150 people at 4:30 in the morning, 150 men, all basically aged under 23, jump, run over, but the Turks are waiting for them at 4:30 in the morning and they just mow down 150 Australian soldiers. And then the second group line up, the next 150. Now they've seen what just happened and they line up and 150 go, and they get mowed down. Then they send a message back saying, this is hopeless, we can't continue, let's not do this. And the message comes back from the majors, you've got to jump over. And the Turks were yelling out, don't come, don't come. But so the leader of the Australian forces in that third wave, his name was Alexander Henry White, stood up, addressed 150 men and said, men, you are about to die, but I will lead you to your death. And they stood on the fire step and they ran and they got mowed down. And then the fourth wave, the last 150, lined up, took their wedding rings off, were given 20 minutes to get their affairs in order, wrote letters to loved ones, hugged each other. There was one bloke called Trevor Rush, hugged his best friend, and he said, goodbye, God bless you, Cobber. And they jumped and they got mowed down. Just incredible. But in that first wave was a guy who was killed but went with his brother, Benjamin Smith. Now, his brother spent 4 days looking for his dead brother in amongst those bodies. And he couldn't find him. But he found a pine cone. And he sent that pine cone home to his mother, and he said, "This is for your son that was killed." And the mother managed to propagate three seedlings out of that pine cone, planted three trees, and when the war memorial opened in 1934, she sent one of those trees to the war memorial. And there's a beautiful Aleppo pine out the front of the war memorial in Canberra to this day. But in 2012, that tree was hit by lightning, which knocked a branch off the top of the tree. And Dr. Brendan Nelson says, "And the wood from that branch makes the frame of this painting."
Oh, my God.
And it was like, all right, where are we going to start the bidding, people? And the first bid was... The first bid was $40,000.
What? Oh, my God.
You're joking.
Limo, when I tell you the hairs on my entire body are standing on end after that.
It's why every year you've got to educate your kids. Sorry to preach here, but go to a door service. Please understand what sacrifices were made, what has happened before us, and why we have to continue to recognise this. I can't express that enough.
And you think about it. You know, these people, 18, 19, 20 years old. Mm. Imagine standing there. You watch 150 people get mowed down and then you go. Yeah.
But what about the opposition saying, "Don't come, we don't really want to do this"?
Yeah.
Doesn't make much sense, does it?
But it just goes to show, you know, like all those good people lost in war because of the decisions of a few people that aren't on that battlefield. And the courage of those people on the battlefield, and in my opinion, the lack of courage of someone who expects other people to run out for them, it boggles the mind.
It's crazy. It was depicted really well in the movie Gallipoli, just the British generals just saying, "Nah, send them over."
Oh.
Yeah.
All right, Limo.
Brilliant story, Limo.
You know, spare a thought for not just the diggers that have made the ultimate sacrifice. We've lost 100,000 over the years in all our wars.
Wow.
But think about the ones that are currently serving on deployment overseas away from their families as well tomorrow.
Yep. Good on you, Limo. Thanks for joining us, mate.
There he is. Limo joins us every Wednesday morning.
Well, we had Tex in yesterday and we were talking about Anzac Day and because his birthday's on Anzac Day and does he go to the dawn service and do all of that, and he told us this story.
Well, last year I took Hugo and it was a bit of a colourful morning. Yeah, he wanted to go to the toilet the whole time.
Oh, no.
So I took him back to the car, said, "Well, there's a box here. Just use the box and we'll sort it out later." No, Dad.
No. Oh,
you can't do that.
You just can't go and handle
that. You have to improvise with little kids sometimes.
You do. Absolutely, you do.
It's good that he didn't just go in his pants. A lot of kids would have done that. He's got enough control that he didn't do that. Yep. And also he refused to go in the box.
Yeah.
He knows that he wants a toilet.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, so remember, have we got the grab from the walk last year, the Hike for Hope?
No, not yet, but we will have it soon.
I got caught short once years ago. I was staying at my cousin's place and I was in the height of, you know, trying to be fit at the time, and I was going for a run, and I'm really, really sorry to anyone.
How long ago is this?
Oh, it's a long time ago. It's when I was, you know, probably 30 years of age, I was still having to be fit, but because, boy, I don't now. Anyway, running in the Edwardstown area, and I went to the Oval, and luckily it was dark. It was at night after tea time, and I had to go badly. And it doesn't normally happen, but had to go. And so if you ever use the velodrome there, there's a bike track around the Edwardstown Oval. Just what would it be? Up the northern end, I'm sorry, but in the bushes there,
Tell us exactly what
which bush it was? No, I probably can't.
What'd you use to wipe?
Leaves.
Yeah. It's awful.
That's all there was.
It's dangerous doing that.
Yeah.
Why?
Spiders.
My uncle did that on a grapevine and had just been sprayed with Roundup and his whole
it would have killed
bum skin come off.
Should have killed any germs or bacteria.
Got rid of his crabs.
Mm.
That's right. Not that he had
that.
So
he did a poo in the bush.
Did a poo in the bush.
Poo jogger.
Edwardstown Oval.
You're the poo jogger.
No, I'm not.
Do you remember that?
In my life. Yeah.
That took us by storm.
Well, this was on the Hike for Hope last year where we did a 30K walk. He said, I was cruising along. I just had to find a toilet. So I went into this one place and they said, "Well, we haven't got a toilet." He said, "Oh, shit, that's no good. Do you know where one is?" He said, "Oh, maybe next door's got one." So he walked around there and went in there and they weren't even open yet.
Oh,
so.
No.
So he saw a couple of sort of dumpsters in the back of a place and thought, "Well, I have to go, otherwise I'm going to do it at my dad's."
Oh, my.
No, not in the dumpster.
So he's jumped into the dumpster.
No.
And done a dumpster in the dumpster.
Yeah.
In the green bin. And then he said he jumped, he stuck his head out over the top. We just picked it at that, what, about 6:30 in the morning just to see if there was anyone there. No one there. So he jumped out and kept walking.
No harm done.
Oh, where's the strangest place you've had to do a number two? Where have you had to do a number two?
We're talking the strangest emergency poo you've ever done.
Yeah.
Well, you have to do it sometimes.
I can't, that was.
Yeah, it's too much. We've all done those sort of ones, but we're talking,
you're out and about. Well, Texas' little boy was at the dawn service. This is how it all came about, and he just had to go desperately.
Well, I just had a text on the text line before from a bloke who knows Tex and knows where he probably went and said there are public toilets there.
Mm.
But anyway.
Well, Tex said there weren't. It's a very he said situation.
Yeah.
We need both sides of the story.
Let's go to Manopara. Andy, where did you have to do a number two?
How you going? All good?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Mate. I was with the State Emergency Service and we had to do a search and rescue training weekend up at Parawira National Park, and I got placed as a casualty in a cave for the lads to come and find me later on the day. Well, the urge happened, so I had to go right up the back of the cave and go and use my hanky.
Oh, no.
That's what a hanky should be for, the disgusting bloody things they are.
That's where they coined the phrase, there's a bear in the cave.
Yeah. How was it? Good?
Oh.
It was a relief.
Oh, it's a great film.
Did you go far enough back like they didn't smell it when they came in? You're like, we're here to oh, God, leave him in there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bruno, Virginia, where did you have to go?
Morning, gang. Yeah, I was painting it was a few years ago now, and a lady decided she'd go out. And she asked me if I need to go to the loo, and I said, no, I'm good. Well, about 10 minutes later, I decided I need to go to the loo, and I thought, where am I going to go? So I grabbed a 10-litre paint tin.
Oh.
Went down the backyard. I thought it's a little bit low, so I stuck it on top of a plastic pot upside down.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting on there. Well, the plastic pot decided to just start giving way.
Oh, no.
So as I'm still going, I'm leaning and leaning and leaning. Basically, I got the job done. And just use the paint rag, that was all.
Well done. Good on you, Bruno. Resourceful.
Yeah, a bit of terps on the bum, that'll clean it up. Let's go to Fairview Park. Steve, where did you have to do a number two?
Morning, guys. How you going?
Good.
Good. A few years ago, my brother and I went out in his little tinny just out through Semaphore Lugs to drift a bit of squid. And the old iced coffee decided to kick in and just had to go and, found the little bucket in the boat and, had to do it. And then there was nothing, obviously, to clean up with. So I had to rip the sleeves off my druggy shirt and, use those. And, it was
a very chilly
morning.
Yeah, beautiful.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what you got to do when you're out in the boat. Let's go to Mawson Lakes. G'day, Jordan. When'd you do a number two?
Morning, guys. How you going?
Yeah, good, Jordan. Getting a bit sick of hearing poo stories, but anyway, tell us another one.
Yeah.
So I was a bit younger, about 16, 17 years old. I just got my first job. I was a roller shutter salesman. And in little dorms in Naranda, New South Wales, I had a big night, ended up having about 7 bowls of 2-minute noodles the night before. I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh God, I got to go to the toilet quick. Of course, the boys were all having a shower. So I ended up having to pull out one of those under table little bins and I just let absolutely rip.
It went
absolutely everywhere. I tried to tell them it was vomit and I ended up watching the clean it.
No,
Jordan, you're a sick
man.
That's not
man.
Right. Let's go to Fairview
you're
Park.
A
Gary.
Sick man.
Gary, have you had to do an emergency poo?
I did, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good, Gary.
I was all right.
Yeah, guys, I was taking the dog for a walk, and unfortunately, I've got Crohn's disease, mate. And if you know anything about Crohn's disease, when you got to go, you got to go.
Oh, no.
And we're walking on a local track. And anyway, I'm already doing the shuffle, and I've got the old cheeks clenched, and ain't going to make it. So down ripped the pants and there's people walking and, and I'm in the bushes and I'm bloody doing it, mate. The dog's looking at me going, well, I ain't picking that up, mate.
Oh, no. You had people watching you, Gary.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, they were trying to be polite and they were turning their heads, but, yeah, they definitely saw.
No.
Yeah, and it's sort of hanging off the bush and it's on the floor and it's all over with a bloody leg.
Gary, what area? What suburbs is this?
Fairview Park, mate. You don't go walking your dog down
the
street.
You're shitting your own nest, Gary.
What? All right, Lee.
Last one.
Lee,
let it end.
Lee from Gawler. What happened to you, Lee?
How are you?
Yeah. Where have you done a poo, Lee?
So I was a young fella kicking around with a couple of the mates up in Keith. And you know, the big, the big silos that run along the side of the railway.
Didn't.
Yeah, so we were up the top there and I had to send one off.
Off the top of the silo?
Yeah. So then as we were coming down, we had to have a quick look and, it was as thin as a piece of paper.
Right.
So.
All right.
Just flat.
lost the stock and lost a bit of dignity at the same time. But
is that what they call one of those long drop toilets?
That's a bloody long drop.
You could have killed someone.
He could have. Hit by a flying turd.
Can you imagine?
All right. Stay tuned.
AutoCam, real-time video from Automasters. Triple M's Rumour Mill, Adelaide's most listened to segment. Hear it every day at 7:40 on Roo, Dits and Loz.
This rumour today is on the back of another rumour that we've talked about before, that there's been a massive building built behind Parliament House there, and Dits, you dropped the rumour about 2KW getting annoyed about a second tower that might be approved.
That's right.
Which got confirmed last week that it has been approved, and now there's people unhappy that's going to block the view. That's going to be, I think, around 10,000 people working in that tower. It's a huge tower and lots of people. So on back of that and the other tower and all that development along there, apparently the government is looking at technologies to and ways to clean out the torrens in that whole area to make that the water quality a hell of a lot better. So they're going to look there and up higher in the torrens because they want that area to be a real spectacle for people who come to our city and go.
Do we want to do water sports down there?
I don't know if they want to go back to skiing and all that sort of thing, but I think they would definitely like to get rid of algae and all the stuff that's in the water. So
I remember as a kid, there used to be a big swimming race down there every summer.
Really?
Yeah. Like, and I mean hundreds of people. It was a real long swim. I can't remember how long, but the swim ended at the Morfitt Bridge. So it went all down past Elder Park and everything, but you wouldn't be able to do that now, would you?
No, my friend fell in there and he had to go on antibiotics. That's not a joke.
Well, that's not good, is it?
No.
Yeah,
if you want people going in it, you need to...
They're looking a lot higher up as well and trying to work out how they can fix it up. So watch this space over the next few years. You might see a cleaner torrent.
Do more with that space, really,
yeah,
when you think about it.
It's so beautiful.
It is.
And if it's going to be as populated as what it looks like, it's going to be with some more high-rise buildings.
And why aren't I shocked that one of Loz's friends fell in the torrents?
Yeah, it was a dress-up party too. It was dressed as the Joker.
Oh,
and
nice.
I'm not that the police were called because I thought there was some sort of incident. Yeah.
It was one of her
friends. Batman didn't.
Sean, love you, mate.
Rude, it's a loss. Triple M.
We know that the Rush Hour is a national show. We have our Adelaide show, and we have our Melbourne show, and Billy Brownless and James Brayshaw do a show over in Melbourne. It's number one over there. Very funny segment, a very funny show. And Bill does a joke on his show. And on Monday night, he did this one.
Did you know that Sylvester Stallone, Jim?
Oh, my God. He just got that
Well,
out.
It's hard to get out. It's stupid.
Sylvester Stallone.
Stallone.
It's not hard to get out.
Was married three times?
No.
Three times, Jim. His first marriage was Rocky, and his second marriage was Rocky too.
Yeah, that's about Bill's standard.
Right, okay.
He does his...
So that was Monday.
That was Monday the 22nd of April.
Yeah.
On Tuesday the 23rd of April,
yeah,
Tex did this one.
Well, did you know Sylvester Stallone is on his third marriage?
Oh, no. Really?
Is he?
Yep. But I guess his first one was Rocky. Yeah. And his second one was Rocky too.
Oh, no.
True.
I reckon Texas joke segment
that's
is
appalling.
Maybe Rocky know. 3.
I don't know about that. Either Tex has stolen it or he's being fed material by someone who's stealing it off of the rush hour.
Gee.
But we don't like to recycle gags here, so we're just sorry to everyone.
Every one of ours is authentic. So
100% original. Yeah.
But now to something very boring.
Well, we had the world's most boring man ring in the other day and told us a great story.
There's a collection of historical artifacts celebrating the music of the Gregorian brothers Slava and Leonard. If you're into your sport... There's a lock of hair from boxing champion Les Darcy on display.
Talking about, there was a list released that I know why the world's most boring man rang in. There was a list released last week of the 100 most boring attractions in the world.
Mm.
And it just got us thinking, didn't it?
Well, where was it? Been... One of them was in Australia.
That was it. He was talking about the museum in Perth.
Yeah, it was in Perth. Yeah.
That made the top 15, I think.
Do you know that bloke?
Oh, I've met him. Yeah. Mm. Try not to spend too much time.
He's a lingerer.
Yeah. He makes
you can't get rid of him.
Makes me sound interesting, doesn't
he? Yeah, fascinating.
Which is good.
It's not easy.
No. So we're thinking, what's something really, really, like you built yourself up, you'd paid for the ticket, you got there and you went, you've got to be kidding.
Mm. Or what about just
getting dragged along?
Things like kids' concerts.
Oh, that's so bad, isn't it?
Graduations.
And you've got the 2 minutes when your own child or niece or nephew's on stage and it's the most exciting thing. Yeah. And then you've got to sit through two hours of just strangers' children doing the worst.
I did it once and I haven't been back.
Awards nights can be pretty tedious,
mind-numbing.
Yeah.
Oh, the speeches.
Yeah.
Just, you know what? I hate to say it. Very few people care what you have to say, and that's why you're going to make them funny. Because if you can make the speech funny, then everyone's interested. But if you're just rattling off a list of deep and meaningful, it just numbs the brain. I went on a on year 10 camp. Something happened with our year 10 camp. We don't really know what happened, but we were meant to go on an aquatics camp, and it sort of got cancelled last minute. So they still took us to the Riverland, but what they did was we didn't get to do any water sports, but we had to do a tour of all of the juice factories.
And you probably went to Cruster at Wakery.
Oh, yeah, no. I think we did. Oh. And there was one day where we got left.
Did you see an orange get squashed?
We saw I saw fruit get squashed in every possible way you could imagine.
Goodness.
There was a day where we went to this one juice factory and we were there for like 6 hours and we walked around.
Don't talk badly about Cruster.
No, it wasn't Cruster. It was just a general juice factory.
Lockett Brothers.
We had to wear hair nets and nets on our feet.
Nippies.
We walked around. And we ended the day in a room, a small dark room where we watched...
Drinking orange juice.
We watched a 2-hour video on juice production.
Oh, no.
And we were actually traumatised by how bored we were. We were just going, let it end. Please let it end.
Oh, that's
let
tough.
It end. And I still think
how much
about
can
it.
You say about juice?
A lot.
Grow an orange and you squash it and you drink it. Juice.
That video should have been 30 seconds.
Church as a kid was tough.
Sunday
morning before footy.
Rue, every week.
Yeah.
I went every week.
Best thing that happened to me was my oldest brother got his driver's license and we used to say to Dad, well, we'll go, us three boys, we'll just go on our own and we'd just drive down the beach, have a milkshake and
you
come
sit
up.
On those wooden benches. What about when you, you get a bit of volume in there?
Last week, a list was released, the most 100 boring attractions in the world. And a museum in Perth got on the list, and our world's most boring man went and visited and did a report for us. So what have you been to that's really boring?
My niece got her nursing degree, do you call it, or diploma, or whatever you call it, the other week. And all the family came down and they went. 300 people's names got read out there. It was just too much for a couple of the family members who said, we'll catch you at lunch. They went to the casino.
Just the photos,
They walked out and went to the casino. They just had enough. 300 different people's names got read out, had to go up, have the photo. Yeah. Just went on for hours and hours. The most boring thing you've been to, Simon from Melrose Park.
My daughter was in the choir at Cabra and we got seconded into going to a concert and we get there and, you know, you wait for a whole lot of songs to go and then she comes on and they sang Tragedy, the Bee Gees song. And I went, that is tragic. That's tragedy. And my wife gave me the filthiest look and the music chief was standing right next to me.
Oh no, they heard you. Oh, no. What,
did you tell your daughter she did a great job?
No.
Oh, no.
Brutality.
It was absolutely terrible.
She's still in the choir?
That was the last concert she ever was sang in.
Yeah,
it was the last one I went to.
Yeah, yeah. Well, stepped on that dream.
Hang your head in shame, Simon. Yeah. Let's go to Seton. G'day, Neil. What's the most boring thing you've been to?
Good morning, Roo, Dits and Loz. The most boring thing that I've been to, many moons ago, I had to go to a museum and learn about the difference of insects that have vertebrae against insects that don't have vertebrae.
Oh, Neil, I'm already bored.
Tell us the difference.
I was so bored, I couldn't even tell you the difference.
Oh, God, Neil.
I tuned out like 30 seconds ago. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Can we get him back on? Why did you have to do that?
All right, so I decided that I wanted to become, or that I wanted to do winemaking.
Right. So interesting.
There was different, so we're doing plant physiology and biochemistry and soil. Yes. That was the exciting. That was the exciting part.
Soil.
I drew the line at when we went and had to learn about, and I'm like, yeah, it's lost me now.
Yeah, I found it. Just drink wine, Neil.
Yeah.
Don't worry about trying to make it. Let the experts do that. Yeah. Building up to a big Anzac Day clash tomorrow, Collingwood Essendon has become one of the real highlights on the sporting calendar in Australia.
Well, it's on tonight.
In fact, games start tonight, Richmond and Melbourne tonight. And you'll hear the last post, and you'll hear
Anzac
it tomorrow.
Anzac Day Eve.
That's right. And what's happened in recent years is you'll hear it all over the weekend. Triple M Breakfast Show in Brisbane, which also happens to rate number one, by the way. There's a fellow called Marto, Greg Martin, who's played rugby union for Australia. So he knows a lot about pomp and ceremony when it comes to big sporting events. He had this to say yesterday.
But now what's happened, as football always does, and I'm not just talking AFL, I'm talking rugby league, they've taken a wonderful thing and they've gone, oh, that's good.
Let's capitalise?
All right. So what's going to happen this week in all eight games of the AFL and all eight games of the Rugby League and the Reds? Everyone will get involved. Probably the netballers will get involved. Every single one of them will play this. And you'll get Anzac. You'll get bugle fatigue.
Yeah.
What do you think, Roy?
I reckon it's bull dust. I've never thought that. We just said before how brilliant Port Adelaide do it at Adelaide Oval. They had the bugle player up there on top of the scoreboard. It's one of the best experiences you can get to. Not everyone can get to the MCG. It's Collingwood and Essendon. Tickets are that hard to get to. Other people have got other things on Anzac Day. I want to go and watch my own club on Anzac Day, and I want to feel what it's like there. So I watch more football than most people. I might watch 3 or 4 games over the weekend. I've never once said, hurry up and get the bloody bugle finished. Yeah. I love it. It's spine-tingling every time. How many times are you going to watch it? You just said before you love seeing it at Port Adelaide. They do a brilliant job.
Yep.
Are they not allowed to enjoy the Anzac spirit? Are they not allowed to have people connected to Port Adelaide down there? Are they not allowed to award the Peter Babko medal and all of that? Or just leave it for Essendon and Collingwood? Yep. Or?
I agree. Loz, what do you think?
I understand what he's saying, that you know, the fact that you overdo it, obviously, it's like hearing the same song over and over again and it loses its spark. But
how many people watch 6 games of football?
No, I agree. And I think he probably watches all of it because of who he is and his job and his love of sport. But most people will see 1 or 2 games and it'll be nice for them. And look, I don't think you can really pay too much respect to the Anzacs, in my opinion. So as many as you can get in.
It's not about profit. The clubs aren't doing it for profit. They're doing it to reap
respect
and enjoy the weekend.
Well, you don't want to be the only club that doesn't do the thing that's the respectful thing. So, I get what he's saying, but I also think, you know, just cop it on the chin if it bothers you.
Sports Card World, the specialists in sports cards and trading card games. Sports Card World, Region Arcade, Rundle Mall.
Triple M Breakfast with Blue Dits and Loz.
What a goal!
Overnight Sports.
Let's talk the Crows. Darcy Fogarty's heaped praise on his teammate Josh Rescelli for taking ownership of a couple of those mistakes he made at the weekend.
A young fella to sort of have those moments and then come out and completely own it, I think it just shows the maturity that he has. I guess there's no better way that he could have handled that. He's copped it, and I don't think it'll happen again for a while.
I'm looking forward to see how he responds now after owning it, how he can, if he can bounce back and play some pretty good footy. Because apart from those little incidents, he's been going all right the last couple of weeks. But a little bit of extra pressure on now. Let's see how he responds. That'll be that's where the proof is in the pudding.
All right, Port Adelaide, Travis Boak could return for them from that back injury. Lockie Jones has been given the all clear as well. Zach Butters plays his 100th game when they take on the same Saints on Friday night. What 100 games they've been too, Ruth.
Yeah, good player. Charlie Dixon would be back too, I would have thought.
Yeah, now there's been a bit of talk. I saw Zach Butters talking about this on the news, that all of those gun midfielders, they haven't spent a lot of time in there in the middle at the same time. And they're just wondering, are they getting the mix right? Let's hear from him.
Yeah, I think the balance has been good. I think it's not all about us three. I think we've got a Brownlow medalist in there and Ollie Wines, and Willem Drew plays his role and definitely complements us. Yeah, we'll get our chances where it's just me, Connor and Jason, but I think we've got a pretty good talented group in there that it doesn't always have to be us.
Friday night football at Adelaide Oval. Port Adelaide do the Anzac Day clash absolutely brilliantly. I will never get it out of my mind the night they had the bugle player up on the top of the scoreboard.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Brilliant.
From out of nowhere, there was just a light shining on the top of the old Heritage scoreboard, and there was a military person doing the bugle, playing the bugle. It was bloody spine-tingling.
It was. John Schumann sang a great rendition of Only 19.
Yeah.
And they always award the Peter Badko medal as well, Port Adelaide. They do it well. You're right, Roo. Now, Anzac Day action gets underway tonight on the eve. Richmond has swung four changes for tonight's clash with Melbourne, including the return of Dylan Grimes and Jacob Hopper from suspension. The Demons welcome back Cozzy Pickett.
Yep.
That's a big inclusion.
Well, it's a big in, and they'll be short price favourites, Melbourne, to knock off Richmond. But we got 5 days of footy, Loz. Just get used to the TV just being on the AFL at the moment. There'll be a few blues in households over the next few days.
Now you can hear all the action on Triple M from 5:30 tonight. Just after the rush hour. GWS, they went to the tribunal last night. Jesse Hogan got off.
How did he get off?
But Toby Green's one-game ban
he
remains.
He didn't even get a fine, Jesse Hogan. Mm. This is ridiculous. Mm. So this is behind the play, smacked him in the face. Yep. It slid up, hit him in the face hard.
Yeah.
And nothing.
They're all over the shop.
How can you get off and surely you go back to a fine at least.
Yeah, you'd reckon.
The tribunal was actually having their worst year of ever seen him, I think.
All right, now Geelong fans will be happy. Max Holmes has signed on until the end of 2028.
Everyone was chasing him.
Including Adelaide. You didn't bloody tell us that.
Well, Port Adelaide, everyone would have asked the question about him, but I think he pretty quickly would have said, I'm staying in Melbourne.
Adelaide United haven't had a great year, but gee, they're producing some young talent. Another of their young players, Moussa Touré, may be off to France. Hey, and just to go back to footy for a moment.
They go everywhere these
days. Yeah, they've sent a couple of real good players overseas this year.
They all born here in Adelaide and all raised in Adelaide?
Yeah.
Jeez, we're spitting out some good quality.
Yeah. The bump, we recorded that yesterday, Roo.
We had a great chat. And we're all a bit frustrated how our Adelaide and Port Adelaide teams are going. But if you want to have a listen, if you love your Crows and Port Adelaide, a really great chat on the bump. You can search Roo, Dits and Loz on the listener app and look for the bump.
Oh, another huge morning, but it's time for us to skadoodle.
Yeah, it is. Roo said it earlier this morning, a bit of a funny feeling today because tomorrow's Anzac Day. A lot of people will miss Friday as well, so a big, big break coming up. But it's a time to reflect and think about what is actually happening tomorrow.
Yeah, have a cracking day tomorrow, and wherever you are on Friday, tune in to Triple M because we'll be on air from 6 to 9.
Yes, that's right.
What does Anzac Day mean to you?
The Anzac spirit is what this is about.
Money cannot buy the sort of mateship.
Mateship forever after.
It is spiritual with us.
The Anzac spirit was born in the trenches of Gallipoli so many years ago.
We are the caretakers of their memories.
Remembrance.
We remember our friends that didn't survive.
When I think about some mates that aren't here, sometimes I think, why I'm here and why they're not.
Take a moment to reflect on the sacrifices of our brave servicemen and women.
My heart's breaking.
He was the best of us.
A courageous soldier who made the ultimate sacrifice for his country, but mostly a loving dad and husband.
When you walk around those cemeteries and you see the insanity of so many killed, our primary duty years later is to remember.
Well, he's my only son and I remember him as that.
And you'll know.
They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old.
Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn.
At the going down of the sun and in the morning,
we will remember them, lest we forget.
Thanks for checking out the Roodits and Loz podcast, driven by the Ford Ranger Raptor, inspired by desert racing. Ford Ranger Raptor has been developed by the Australian design and engineering team with Ford Performance DNA for true enthusiasts.